Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Clearing the Crease podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Cox. Thank you so much for downloading this special edition of Clearing the Crease. We're going to be previewing WrestleMania 31. That's right, WrestleMania 31, coming to you on Sunday in Santa Clara, California at Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to break down the card. We're just going to go through match by match. I'm going to give you some of my predictions and thoughts on the storyline, build up to each of these matches, along with my predictions and what I think may come out as a result of WrestleMania. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go through the match lineup card first. On the pre-show, which takes place on the WWE Network, on the pre-show we have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which got moved from the main card to the pre-show, I think, to give a lot of the other main card matches a little bit more time, which I'm okay with. There's just a few highlighted names competing in the Battle Royal are Damian Sandow, Ryback, Kane, The Big Show, along with Hideo Itami coming up from NXT. He earned a spot in a little four-man tournament earlier this week at Access. Also, we have the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, the current champions, defending against Los Matadores, Jimmy and Jay the Uso Twins, and also against New Day. On the main card, we have Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker, Sting versus Triple H. We also have a Divas tag team match with AJ Lee and Paige versus Nikki and Brie, the Bella Twins. We have a U.S. title match where Rusev is defending against John Cena. We have a seven-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title, and your WWE World Heavyweight Championship matches between Brock Lesnar, who's defending against the Royal Rumble winner Roman Reigns. So let's go ahead and start with the pre-show. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal is, again, 20 guys, Battle Royal, so it's an over-the-top, all 20 guys starting in the ring at the same time. Got to go over the top rope, both feet much touch the floor, then you're eliminated, last man standing in the ring wins. Now, last year, Cesaro won the Battle Royal, which I thought was a big moment for him. He had a lot of momentum, I thought. A lot of people wanted to see him as a babyface, but unfortunately, the brass of the WWE still wanted to keep him as a heel, and a lot of people wanted to cheer for him, but he was doing heel stuff, so he kind of lost a little momentum. Nevertheless, I think this year's Battle Royal with 20 guys, I think, is a good number. They have a lot of mid-carders. You have guys like Connor and Victor from The Ascension. We have the primetime players. You have Eric Rowan, Damian Sandow, The Miz. So there's some good talent in the match. Nothing really over the top. Obviously, Kane and The Big Show are two of the bigger names in that match. But I think this is an opportunity for, one, for Hideo Itami, previously known as Kenta, on the independent circuits. Big name, especially out in Japan. I think Hideo Itami, I would like to see him impress because he's making his main roster debut. He is representing NXT at WrestleMania. So this is a very, very big moment for NXT and all the superstars, because if he shows well, it only helps the other guys in NXT. His signing with WWE was so big that even Hulk Hogan flew out to Japan to be there for his contract signing in Japan. So this is a very big thing with him. I don't think he wins. I think the winner will probably come down possibly to Ryback. I think the big guys like Ryback, Eric Rowan, Big Show, Kane, those guys kind of all eliminate each other. I wouldn't mind seeing Ryback win. I think that would be kind of a cool moment for him. But I think this is a chance actually for Damian Sandow, who's been The Miz's personal assistant slash stunt double. I think this would be kind of a cool moment for him to win, to really break away and get some momentum and really kind of see where this could take him off as a singles competitor. We did see him win Money in the Bank in the past, and unfortunately WWE didn't capitalize on it, because I think a lot of people wanted to see him become World Heavyweight Champion. That's before the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE title were merged together, or unified, I should say. So he wasn't able to cash in his Money in the Bank successfully, but nevertheless, I think Damian Sandow is going to win. All right, the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match, again, with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd as your champs against Los Matadores, the Usos, and New Day. Now, New Day consists of three guys. You have Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods. Which two of those guys are competing in the match, I don't know. We'll find out. To me, you have to keep the straps on Cesaro and Kidd. Those two guys are too talented of wrestlers to just be afterthoughts. I think this can be an entertaining match. I think you give it a solid 15 minutes, they'll shine. Los Matadores, Fernando, and Diego, also formerly known as Primo and Epico. They can put on some entertaining spots. I mean, Jimmy and Jay the Usos will put on some entertaining spots. My guess is probably going to be Big E, Langston, and Kofi Kingston are going to be the two wrestling from New Day. It's just the New Day gimmick, by the way, to me, it's so dull, it's so flat, it's stale. They need to do something. I would be very disappointed if they were to win. I'd be kind of disappointed if Los Matadores wins, just because they haven't been on television hardly at all in the last 6 weeks, and they decided to get thrown into the championship picture, more or less just to get more guys on the card. I think Cesaro and Kidd retain their titles. If it's not them, I hope it's the Usos, just because they kind of have a longevity in the tag team division, but I think Cesaro and Kidd retain the titles. All right, moving on to the main card. What we're going to do is we're going to break down all the non-title matches first, and then we'll get into all the championship matches towards the end. We'll go ahead and start with Seth Rollins, Mr. Money in the Bank, taking on Randy Orton. This has been built up over about a couple months, I'd say, because Seth Rollins has taken some shots at Randy Orton while Randy Orton wasn't on television. And Seth Rollins, I think, he's one of the top three talents in the WWE right now, in all honesty. Just the stuff that he can do, the high spots he can hit, just his in-ring psychology, his ability to... He understands his role as a heel, as being a bad guy. He's super talented, and Randy Orton's history as a wrestler and his talent speaks for itself. I think this could be a very, very entertaining match. I think it actually opens the main card, because it's two guys who are main event level. It's a good storyline, and they'll put on a damn good match to start the show. I don't think they'll start with anything like the Intercontinental title ladder match, because if they do that, that's just going to steal the show, and the rest of the card's not going to look as good, even though they may be good matches. But you don't want to lead off with your best match at the very beginning of the show. You want to put on a damn good one. And I think Seth Rollins and Randy Orton could be a good one. I'd like to see Seth Rollins win clean. I think it would boost his career by getting a clean win over Randy Orton. And I think if you start with him on the show, with him with that Money in the Bank contract, look for a possible cash in later. But we'll get to that later on in the podcast. So I think Seth Rollins goes over with Randy Orton. Now, this is an intriguing matchup, this next one we're going to talk about. It's Bray Wyatt taking on The Undertaker. Now, we haven't seen The Undertaker since WrestleMania 30. If you guys don't know, WrestleMania 30 is where The Undertaker lost for the first time at WrestleMania. He previously had won at 21 straight WrestleManias, losing to Brock Lesnar last year at WrestleMania 30, now putting that streak at 21-1. So I'm curious to find out as to see what he looks like. How does he look? We don't know. We haven't seen him, haven't heard from him in a year. Bray Wyatt has done a great job of his mic work, his promos, building up to this match. He is the new face of fear in the world of wrestling. He's the new face of fear in the WWE. This could be a damn entertaining match, I think. Just with the mystique of these two characters, the spots, I mean, just the wrestling that they can do. The Undertaker can still put on a good match. I still think he can. Even though he hasn't wrestled in a year, you haven't seen him in a year, he'll be ready to go. He knows how to take care of his body. He'll be ready to go. But Bray Wyatt looking to become the new face of fear in WWE. I don't know if The Undertaker loses two straight matches at WrestleMania. I just don't see it, because you built up the streak of him going 21-0 just to have him lose two straight. He did a big favor last year with WWE with Brock Lesnar beating him, because we'll look at the position Brock Lesnar's in right now, which is something we'll get into a little bit later on. But he did the WWE a huge favor last year by dropping the streak. I think he wins, but I think Bray Wyatt looks really good coming out of this match as well. But I think Undertaker goes over on Bray Wyatt, and I think what could be a very entertaining match. Now, the next one we have is Sting versus The Undertaker. Now, this is Sting's first match in WWE. Now, Triple H has built it up as Sting's the last guy, WCW's the last soldier standing. It's my chance to kill off WCW finally. Sting has said, it's like, you know what? I'm not fighting for WCW. I'm here to take down, you know, authoritative figures such as Triple H. The build-up with Sting to this match, I think, has been done masterfully because you just got a little bit of more each time. You see him appear. We saw him all the way back at Survivor Series making that first appearance, setting up for this match. So there's been a slow build-up, and then we've seen a little bit more of him. We've seen a little bit of him on the mic. Pulls out the baseball bat when Triple H has a sledgehammer. So the build-up for Sting has been phenomenal. Sting's first match, and possibly his only match with WWE, I think in a very good match, I think he goes over Triple H. I think Triple H will be fine with that. I think it's best for the company as a whole. If you're going to build up this guy, his, you know, first appearance and making his WrestleMania, you know, the last of a dying breed, whatever, blah, 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 how could you not have him win? But I think it could be a very good match. It may be the second match on the show, possibly. They may even kick off the show with it, though I still think Seth Rollins, Randy Orton kicks off the show. Nevertheless, Sting versus Triple H is going to be a good match, and I think Sting wins. How much he stays with the WWE after this is questionable. I just because I don't know. Does he wrestle at WrestleMania 32? You know, does he get inducted into the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania 32 and then wrestles a match that same night or that same weekend? I don't know. A lot of things can factor into this, but I think Sting pulls out the win over Triple H. All right, next match is the Divas tag match between AJ Lee and Paige teaming up against Nikki and Brie, the Bella Twins. This is something that we've been seeing a little bit more over the last few weeks on Raw, is these four Divas have starting to get a little bit more airtime. Their matches have been a little bit longer on Raw. And you're starting to see now what I think is a lot of wrestling fans and WWE wrestling fans are ready to see quality female wrestling again. If you're a fan of wrestling, I really encourage, if you don't have it, go look at the WWE Network and check out NXT and just watch some of the matches that the Divas, the women down there, put on. Sasha Banks, Charlotte, back at NXT, Our Evolution in December, on December 11th. Had one heck of a singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. It was one of the best matches just from women's wrestling I've ever seen. It was just a damn quality match. I don't care, guys or girls, whomever. It was a quality match. If you go back February 11th at NXT Rival, there's a fatal four-way with Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Bayley, and Becky Lynch. It tore the house down. And it was just a damn entertaining match. And I think people are ready to see quality women's wrestling again. Kind of back when we had Trish Stratus and Lita, the quality of those matches, Victoria, the quality of those matches were very high. And I think people are ready to see that again, not just, you know, WWE having them as eye candy and to fill 2 minutes of time on the middle of a card. So we're seeing that a lot more with the Divas action. And I would like to see this match get a solid 12 minutes because I think these girls can really show that, hey, look, women's wrestling can be good if you give us the chance to be good. And I think if some of these girls that are on NXT right now get called up and are booked properly, such as Charlotte and Sasha Banks, when those two get called up eventually, which could be very soon, I think Charlotte's going to be debuting very soon, with WWE, is you're going to see a lot of quality matches. And the work rate for a lot of these women can be great if you give them the chance to. But to me, I think the Bella Twins win this match because they're building up to that little rift, kind of, they call it frenemy rift between AJ Lee and Paige. I think that's going to kind of cost them the match, and I think we're going to see Paige and AJ Lee feuding for a while again, which I'm okay with, but I think the Bella Twins win this match. Something unclean, some heel shtick, which I'm okay with, but I think the Bella Twins are going to win that match. All right, U.S. title match. Rusev defending his title against John Cena. Now, Rusev has been built very well ever since he debuted last year at the Royal Rumble. He slowly has taken guys down one by one, hasn't been pinned, hasn't been submitted in any sort of singles match. The only times he's ever lost is when he's either been counted out, he's been thrown over the top in like a battle royal, or thrown over the top in the Royal Rumble in the past as well, over the top rope and those kinds of matches. So he has not been pinned, has not been submitted, so he hasn't lost a singles match yet in WWE. He's done a good job of progressively taking out more guys who have gone after Rusev and his U.S. title, stating, it's like, you know, Rusev has done a lot of anti-America shtick, which is fine. I'm cool with it. It's kind of like a throwback to the old Cold War, anti-USA by Russia. Now, we haven't seen Lana, his manager / valet, in a few weeks. I think she returns at WrestleMania 31 just to kind of be at Rusev's side, you know, kind of aid with him. But again, Lana hasn't shown up in a while. But I think Rusev and John Cena could be a very, very good match. They had a great match at Fastlane. I'm very torn as to what I think is going to happen with this match, because John Cena is the golden boy of WWE. He is, you know, he's been the flag carrier for the company for the better part of the last decade. He's Mr. USA, Superman, however you want to define him. But does WWE make a bold move and have Rusev go over John Cena at WrestleMania? Because you're talking about really boosting someone's career if you do that. But Rusev eventually has to drop the title, and who's he going to drop it to? I think in the end, John Cena wins this match, and I'll get into a little bit more later, but you really can boost the profile even more of the U.S. title if John Cena is carrying it around. Again, John Cena is still the face of the company. He may not have the top title around his waist or being the main event title picture. He's still the face of the company. And I think you put the strap on John Cena again, you really boost the U.S. title and even more. And he can main event house shows. He can even main event, you know, some pay-per-views with the U.S. title, whether it's Payback or whatever, what other pay-per-views, Battleground that they have coming up. You can main event with that. And I think that's something that's good to do. You can have Rusev, you know, chasing back after the U.S. title after this main event, after WrestleMania, and then going into Battlegrounds. Heck, you can even take it into SummerSlam. I think John Cena can carry the title until SummerSlam, and then he can drop it to somebody else, whether it's a guy coming up from NXT or a guy already on the card, again, to boost the profile of the U.S. title. I think it'd be a good match. I kind of would like to have seen it been an I Quit match or a submission match, but I think John Cena takes the title from Rusev and Rusev's first loss in WWE. All right, next match, the Intercontinental title ladder match. Now, this is the match that I'm looking forward to most, because you have seven superstars who are super talented, and they're all capable of putting on one hell of a show. And that's going to be the current champion, Bad News Barrett, is defending his title against R-Truth, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, Dean Ambrose, and Luke Harper. Now, all of these guys, again, super talented. They're big, capable of putting on high spots, and it's also in a ladder match as well. This is just going to be damn entertaining. Give these guys 30 minutes and let them go. It's going to steal the show, in my opinion. there's a few ways I could see this match going. I could see it, Bad News Barrett losing the title, but then obviously he's going to feud with whoever wins it because he wants a rematch for his championship. There's a couple ways I can lean with this one. I would say Dean Ambrose would be a good selection because he's a former U.S. champion. He's competed. He probably should have won Money in the Bank if it wasn't for interference by Kane, allowing Seth Rollins to win. I think it would be a good step up for Dean Ambrose. He's the one that kind of started this whole storyline. He beat Bad News Barrett clean on a match on Raw, and he says, hey, that gives me a chance at the title. Bad News Barrett wouldn't give him a shot, so Dean Ambrose forced Bad News Barrett to sign a contract. They competed at Fastlane for the Intercontinental title. The referee stopped the match against Dean Ambrose because he wouldn't listen to him. He was beating down Barrett in the corner, and ref tried to, you know, give him the five count to come out of the corner, and Dean Ambrose didn't, so the ref stopped the match. So there's a little unfinished business between the two, but I think Dean Ambrose could be a good selection from going from U.S. title to Intercontinental title. I think that could really boost him a lot. But I think one guy that may do a really good job for the Intercontinental title to boost, again, the prestige of this mid-card title, who a title that has a lot of history with it, I think Daniel Bryan is actually a really good option for this, because what if WWE wants to unify the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title, just so they have the main championship belt, and they have a one mid-card singles title, then they have the tag title, and they have the Divas title. What's better way to unify those championships with John Cena and Daniel Bryan? You could headline SummerSlam with a match like that. John Cena versus Daniel Bryan unifying the U.S. and Intercontinental championships? That has main event written all over it. Even if you don't want to unify those two titles, on house shows, John Cena can main event house shows with the U.S. title. Daniel Bryan can main event house shows with the Intercontinental title. Those guys are two of the top stars in the entire company. To me, it makes sense. But we've also seen in the last couple weeks how Dolph Ziggler has beaten Daniel Bryan clean twice. He did it on Raw this past week. He did it on SmackDown. Clean wins over Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan is, and Dolph Ziggler are two of the most over guys with the fans. They're super talented. And I can only imagine Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan having a program that leads into an Intercontinental title match at SummerSlam. I mean, there's so many possibilities that the company can do. Whatever they decide to do, they have to capitalize on it, because you can really have a lot of momentum for a lot of guys coming out of this match. Imagine Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan, two darlings of the internet wrestling community, the IWC, which is, there's a lot of dumb people in the IWC, that's just my opinion, but those are two golden boys amongst fans. That could be such a great SummerSlam title match that you could possibly do. Again, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, eventually even take it to Survivor Series. Let those two unify the titles at Survivor Series. I don't care. Either way, I think this is going to come down to Dean Ambrose or Daniel Bryan winning the match. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say Dean Ambrose wins this match. I think it really could boost his career a lot. I'm going to give Dean Ambrose my pick to win the Intercontinental title ladder match. Now, the final match on the card is the main event. We have Brock Lesnar, the champion, taking on Roman Reigns. Now, going into this match, originally when it was booked, was Brock Lesnar's contract was set to expire the day after WrestleMania. So he would have appeared on the Raw the day after WrestleMania, then his contract would have expired that night. But earlier this week on ESPN, Brock Lesnar stated how he was done with mixed martial arts. He had been something he'd been considering for a long time, going back into the octagon with the UFC. He announced that he signed a new multi-year contract. He announced it on ESPN on SportsCenter. He broke the news that he signed, again, a multi-year contract. The Associated Press reported that his contract with the WWE is for 3 more years. Now, a lot of the predictions that were coming into this match, again, if Lesnar didn't re-sign with WWE, that Roman Reigns is winning the title. You know, you're not going to let a... You know, it's either Roman Reigns is winning the title or Seth Rollins is cashing in, but Lesnar's not leaving WrestleMania with the championship. So you take this new breaking story, not breaking story, but this new story into account now. Everything's on the table. You could have Brock Lesnar winning clean. You can have Roman Reigns winning clean. You can have Roman Reigns make a heel turn against Brock Lesnar with the aid of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman being the advocate of Brock Lesnar. Maybe Paul Heyman turns on Lesnar, which is something that's happened in the past when Lesnar was working full-time with WWE back in the early 2000s. Does that happen? Does Roman Reigns win and then guys from the Authority come out and beat down on Roman Reigns and then Seth Rollins cashes in and Rollins leaves the champion? There's so many possibilities I can go into this match. It's hard for me. Part of me doesn't even want to give a prediction. But I think this match is most important for Roman Reigns because when he won the Royal Rumble, he got booed immensely because, well, a lot of people wanted Daniel Bryan to win. And Daniel Bryan didn't really have much to show for in the Royal Rumble. It wasn't booked very well for him. So there's just a lot of negativity, you know, from the point Daniel Bryan got eliminated on. And with Roman Reigns winning, a lot of the fans turned against him because there's quite a few people who think he's not main event ready. I don't know. We'll see. If he's not main event ready after this, we'll know. I think eventually he can be, and he will be. He has the look WWE wants. He has the look. He has the build. He has the charisma. His ring work needs a lot of help. I'm not saying he's bad or a terrible wrestler, but he's only been wrestling for about 4 years. So his work rate needs to get better. His promo work needs to get better. But he has all the physical tools necessary to be successful. That's why I'm thinking that Paul Heyman does something to turn on Brock Lesnar, allowing Roman Reigns to win. Because what better way to have, you know, Brock Lesnar feuding with Roman Reigns than to have Paul Heyman being Roman Reigns' mouthpiece. You know, he can work as a heel for a little while, really build up his work rate, and then eventually it can turn into a big, long-time babyface run for Roman Reigns. If you look at it, a lot of guys who made big runs as babyfaces in the company for WWE in the past were heels. Look at Stone Cold Steve Austin, worked as a heel against Bret Hart. They did a double turn at WrestleMania 13, and the rest speaks for itself. But even for much of the time after that, Stone Cold still worked as a heel. The Rock, when he debuted, was this squeaky clean babyface, and then the fans kind of eventually turned against that. He turns heel, gets hot, people really start to like him, turns babyface, big man in the company. So again, there's a lot of different ways that you can do this, but I think Roman Reigns needs to have a good match. He needs to have a good showing, because if he earns the respect of the wrestling fans across the board in terms of his work rate, this is the time to do it. This is your chance to show. You've been given the main event. Take advantage of it. So a lot of different things can go into this match. I don't know what's going to come up about of it. I just don't see a way that Roman Reigns doesn't walk out with the title. That's just my opinion. I think Roman Reigns is walking out with the championship. How he goes about it, I don't know. I think Seth Rollins may try to cash in. We shall see. But I think Roman Reigns walks out of WrestleMania with a championship. The one thing I hope for with this, the entire card, is give us quality matches, because that's what people really want to see. Give us good booking. Give us good storytelling. Give us quality matches, and people will be happy from there on. You're going to have whining and complaining from people just because that's what they want to do. Whatever, don't listen to it. To me, I'm entertained by a lot of these matches. That's all I want to see. I want to see good storytelling, entertaining matches. Don't give me the whole wrestling is fake, blah, blah, blah. I get it. There's predetermined outcomes, but it's still entertaining. That's the way I look at it. Like, the moves that these guys do, I mean, guys getting superplexed off of a 20-foot ladder into the middle of the ring, that's really fun to watch. I'm sorry. These guys put their bodies on the line for my entertainment. I'm entertained. And I'm more of a wrestling fan than I am just a WWE fan. I enjoy the product down in NXT, which I know is part of WWE, but I enjoy NXT a lot. You guys, if you guys want to see some really strong style wrestling, watch New Japan. If you like seeing the high flying moves, watch Lucha Underground. If you just want to see guys just tear the house down with a lot of crazy moves, watch Ring of Honor. There's a lot of really good, just quality wrestling out there. But to me, WrestleMania, again, it's the granddaddy of them all. I just want to see a good quality show. That's everything anyone wants, quality show. And I think WrestleMania 31, even though the build-up to it for some of these matches haven't been great, it doesn't mean the show won't be great. I think it's something that a lot of people lose sight of. Just because the build-up hasn't been awesome doesn't mean the show won't deliver. And I think that sometimes couldn't be a good thing. It's because if you have only average expectations and then the show really delivers, then it means more, as opposed to great anticipation leading into a good match. Because then it doesn't quite deliver to your expectations. So if medium expectations sometimes can lead into a great finish. Not saying all the matches have had poor build-up. To me, I think the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar build-up has been carried heavily by Paul Heyman. You put that guy in the ring for 10 minutes, just let him talk. It's damn entertaining. But Roman Reigns really hasn't done a whole lot because his mic work is not good. And yeah, he's had a couple good matches here and there and a couple of cool spots in those matches, but the build-up for that on Roman Reigns' end hasn't been great. I think the Bray Wyatt's done a good job carrying the promos for his match versus The Undertaker. Sting and Triple H has been built up masterfully. Cena and Rusev has been built up fairly well. The Intercontinental title match, the ladder match has just been, hey, look, we got all seven of these guys who are just sit there going to go out and go. And I think the build-up for that has been good. Rollins versus Randy Orton has had a decent build-up. The Divas tag match has had a decent build-up. So I think it's going to be a good show. Just enjoy it for the entertainment, for what it is. Pre-show starts at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Main card starts at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Again, you can order it on pay-per-view. You can find it on WWE Network. It's going to be one hell of a time. Enjoy the show. Thank you so much for downloading this edition of Clearing the Crease podcast, the special WrestleMania 31 preview. Again, WrestleMania coming up tomorrow, Sunday, March 29th. Enjoy the show. Thank you so much for downloading Clearing the Crease. You can find our website, clearingthecrease.com. Find us on Twitter at CTC Podcast. Also, you can find us on Facebook. Clearing the Crease podcast is the name of the page. So long, everyone. Enjoy your weekend.